You know he's the best thing that ever happened to you. Come on, praise this name today. Amen. I recommend Jesus. Hallelujah. The one who died for me. He's the one I recommend. The one who saved my soul. We bless the Lord today. There's none like him. You may search the world over, but I would dare say you won't find anybody who can do you like Jesus. I mean, you got good friends. When it's rubber hits the road, who will be with you in those tough moments? Who will be with you when you're barely making it? Only count on the Lord Jesus Christ. As we come today, let's bow our heads. Father, we do come in the name of Jesus. We're so glad that we know that name. We're so glad that you found us when you did. And that you saved us. Father, as we come today, we decrease so that you might increase. Father, we ask even now that you might bless your word. It is your word. That it might find someone who needs encouragement. That it might lead one to salvation. But when it's all said and done, we'll give your name the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. We can rejoice and be glad in it. We're certainly grateful to you, you and you, whether you're here in the house or whether you're by way of Facebook, Florida, Carolina, Virginia, overseas, Paris, Rome. We got people over there, at least this week. So they're tuning in from overseas. There's a word from the Lord. I want to read it from the Gospel of John. And you might open your Bibles. I won't read. You won't see the whole word on the screen. You'll get the portion that we're going to preach. But let's start at John 7, 1 through 10. And we'll pick up for our preachment there in the sixth verse. Verse 1 says, after this, Jesus went around in Galilee. He did not want to go in Judea because the Jewish leaders there were looking for a way to kill him. But when the Jewish festival of tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, leave Galilee and go to Judea so that your disciples there may see the works that you do. No one wants to become a public figure, acts in secret. And since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. For even his own brothers did not believe in him. Verse 6, therefore, Jesus told them, my time is not yet here. For you, any time will do. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that its works are evil. You go to the festival. I'm not going up to this festival because my time has not yet fully come. After he had said this, he stayed in Galilee. However, after his brothers had left for the festival, he went also, not publicly, but in secret. I want to preach today from the sermonic title, simply setting boundaries. Setting boundaries. We live in a society that sets boundaries. If you own land, you know that there's a certain marker. It's my land, it's my property. There's a boundary line. So they may mow part of your yard, but it's still your yard. Amen. So we always look to that as an example of a boundary. But in politics, there are boundaries because you can't just break the law. Yeah. There's certain things you can and cannot do under the law of the land. And we know that in interpersonal relationships, when it comes to boundaries, it means that each of us have separate identities, responsibilities, and privileges.
Yeah.
In the Bible, in the first book of the Bible, Adam and Eve, they went over the boundary line. God told them that here is where I'm setting you up. And all I'm asking is, don't eat from this tree. He set the boundaries. But what happened? Satan tricked them, fooled them, and made them think otherwise, and they ate the fruit. This morning, I always find that Jesus is the best example for a life lesson or a preachment. And so he will show us the importance of setting up different kinds of barriers and boundaries, personal boundaries, emotional boundaries, physical boundaries, and spiritual boundaries. Just being able to say there has to be some separation in our own lives. In our text today, Jesus is still making the headlines, and yet he is still wanted. There are those who want to kill him based on what he is doing by way of proclamation, by way of teaching, by way of preaching, by way of healing. Yeah. And when people see you doing the right thing, they don't always like it. Yes. We like folk when they did bad stuff, but once you start to get your life in order, once you start to walk a different path, Jesus became a threat to the establishment. Yeah. And they wanted to kill him. And so there he is with his brothers. And do know that Jesus had family.
That's right.
That yes, he had family in which he was able to relate to. He had brothers. He had sisters. Yeah. And so at this particular time of the year in the writing of this text, there was the Feast of the Tabernacles, a Jewish festival in which people came together for 7 days. They would build makeshift tents to remind them of the time that God had brought them through the wilderness. There's nothing wrong with having a reminder. You ever drove past some places and you remember when God brought you through? Ever run into people you hadn't seen in years? And it takes you back to see the mighty hand of God at work. Aren't you glad for reminders? Thank God for what you used to be, but look where he's brought you now. You ought to be excited about that. And so Jesus' brothers is trying to convince him to go to the festival. They're trying to put pressure on him. Jesus, now you ought to go to the Feast of the Tabernacles so your disciples can see you and see all of your mighty works. They were being sarcastic. There's sarcasm in the text. They did not really believe that he was who he said he was. The Messiah, the sent one. And so they were saying, it would be funny, wouldn't it, to have Jesus come up and work a few what they considered magic tricks. But he set boundaries. He would not be swayed. He would not be pressured. And he set up, I think, first and foremost, a personal boundary. And verse 6, therefore, Jesus told them, that is his brothers, who were trying to get him to come and to do things that he knew was outside of what he wanted to share. He says, my time is not yet here, for any time for you will do. It sounds like Jesus is getting them straight. Jesus refused to give in to any kind of pressure to do something that he did not want to do.
That's right.
He set a personal boundary.
Yeah, right.
My time is not here. And so often disciples would say to him, Jesus, you got to come right now. The people have heard about you, and they're waiting for you, and you ought to come on right now. No, I'm not coming right now. Isn't that great that we can learn from the example of Jesus? He had certain things he did not want to do just because somebody said, you ought to do it. I'm trying to help everybody today as I help myself. It's okay to have a personal boundary.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
He would find time to get away. And even when his own family showed up while he was teaching, somebody said, Jesus, your mother is here, and your sisters are here, and your brother is here, and they want to see you. He said, Who is my mother? And who is my brother except those who do the will of God? Do you follow me this morning?
Yeah.
He did not just go on a whim, but he had personal boundaries in which he operated on, And that is so important.
Yeah, it is.
He shares earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, he says, simply say, yes, I will, or no, I won't. And I am guilty of this, have been guilty, trying to get better, not there yet, to just say no. You ever said no? No, have never hurt anybody. No, not today. Or yes, I can. I found myself in situations, can I testify, where I didn't give either one. I never said yes. I never said no. And so when the time came, did you say that means yes? Jesus was real clear about drawing the line. Personal space. Brothers, you got to get it. But there was also an emotional boundary. He says, the world cannot hate you. Let me put a pin on that. Why? You're already a part of the world. So you're with the world. You're with my enemies because you don't believe me. So the world hates me because I testify of the works that they do or evil.
Yeah.
Folk don't like you in your job because you tell them the truth.
Right.
Your children get a little attitude with you because you say, you know what? That's just the way it is. Anybody afraid to tell their children exactly how they feel? He took time to say, hey, this is the way. That's the Jesus I love in this text. Can I just stop for a moment? When I saw this Jesus, I said, I like what I see here. He's always painted as humble and lowly, and just call on Jesus. No, Jesus draws the line and says, you know what? I know the world hates me because I pull the world up. They hate me because I tell them about themselves, and folk don't follow you because you're a straight talker. Isn't nothing wrong with that? So don't be afraid to say, you out of your lane. He was aware how his enemies felt about him. He already knew. Some folk just don't like you. That's just the way it is. That's their problem. Amen? I'm going to keep on loving you, but I'm not going to lose it over you. I'm not going to have a breakdown over you. I got to move on. Amen? That's spiritual. Don't have an emotional breakdown because something you can't fix. Just say, you know what? Sorry. Jesus says, I know the deal. They're haters. And so are you. He would not be swayed. Now later on in the Gospel of John, he picks up where he's talking to his disciples. He says, you know what? He says, now in this sense, he says, you know, the world hates me and it hates you because you're connected with me. So the difference was with the brothers, they were already in that group. But because you follow him, and because you are a disciple of Christ, folk may not like you, but don't sweat the small stuff.
Amen.
Don't lose a wink of sleep over how somebody feel about you. Keep your emotional stability. Amen. I'm no psychologist. I'm just saying what I know works. He knew how and when to give himself some space. Yeah, you can't come in here right now. It's my personal time and space, and I'm not dealing with your foolishness today. That's Pastor Tuden's interpretation. Then there's a physical boundary. I like this. He says in verse 8, you go on to the festival. I'm not going. Go on, Jesus. Because my time, I told you before, is not fully come. After he said that, he stayed in Galilee.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not going anywhere. And no matter how you pressure me, I will not be moved.
Yeah.
Oh, am I helping somebody today?
Yeah.
He was able to draw this physical boundary that, well, I'll go halfway. No. You want to find me? I'll be right here when you come back. Yeah, I'm not going to be pushed not going to be bullied. I'm not going to be pressured. I won't be. No, I'm not. That's what Jesus said. As he's addressing his brothers. I have nothing to prove to you. No. Say what you will or may. And there are times that we all need our space.
Yeah.
I know you love people. So do I. But I love my space. Space to pray. Space to heal. Space to chill. Anybody love chilling? You got to chill every now and then. Just do a moment with you. Take yourself to lunch one day. Just you, yourself, and I. Amen. Take yourself for the walk. Where you going? I'm going on a walk. Me and myself. You need time. Some people need to have folk around them all the time. Patting them on the back. No. Where are you going? I'm chilling. I'm not going to the festival. He drew the line. He knew how to be still. The Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. Yeah, just stop for a minute and just do you and not feel bad about doing you. You don't have to go. I know they got the tickets, but you still say, I'm still not going. I'm sorry you got the tickets. It's okay. Now, am I being harsh? No. Setting up boundaries. Jesus would oftentimes leave early in the morning before the guys got up and went to a place to spend time with his father.
Yes.
He knew there were physical boundaries.
That's right.
Where are you going? None of your business. When you coming back, I'll let you know. I'm just setting up some space for me. Physical boundaries, personal boundaries, emotional boundaries, and then spiritual boundaries. Verse 10. However, after his brothers had left for the festival, he went also when he got good and ready. I like Jesus. Not publicly, but secret. He came up in the house. Nobody even knew he was there. His brothers would have him say, hey, I'm Jesus on the scene. Knowing they want to kill you, he comes in secret. He knows when to remove the boundaries.
Amen.
And I want you to leave and say, now, Pastor, say you got to just be hard. Pastor, say, don't take no stuff. And you come back next week and say, uh-oh. No, all I'm saying is you got to know when to remove the boundaries.
Amen?
Amen?
Yeah.
You can't be that hard. But he was led, of course, by the Spirit of God. He said, well, now is the time. Well, I'll go. And you got to decide when you want to let your guard down, when you want to remove the boundaries that have been set, when you want to remove the barriers and the detours of life. You decide that after consulting with the Spirit.
Amen.
It's okay to change your mind. I ain't going nowhere. Well, I might. After you see the value of what the Spirit has revealed to you in that moment. That's kind of flipping the script. He shows up. But always know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom and liberty.
Yes.
These are worth practicing to make you a better you. Because before you thought, I can't say no. I can't. No, you don't have to. Jesus gives us the example. I'm glad today that the Lord removed some boundaries from my life and some barriers in my life, so that I might follow him and might go after the truth. Thank God he was able to see the traps that the enemy had for me. The devil always got a set up. But when he removes a barrier and sets you free, it makes a difference. He set up some detour signs for me. Tim, you might not want to go that way. And thank God I heard him in the spirit. Tim, you might not want to go there. That's the wrong way. You may not want to go that way. That's a one way. And you know that I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
And so there are times when he removes a barrier, it becomes an open area for you to move in the spirit. That while you set him up, let the Spirit of God let you know when you need to say, no, Lord, thank you. Had you not opened that door for me? Had you not made that way for me? Had you not removed that boundary? I would still be stuck in my sins.
Yes.
On yesterday, I was up in New Jersey for a moment. And those of you who travel, thank God for the easy pass. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And I was doing easy pass. Easy pass Maryland, easy pass Delaware, easy pass New Jersey. Just excuse me. I felt kind of important. Why? I had the easy express lane, and that's what God has done for us by way of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He's given us the express lane. He's removed the barriers in our way. He's opened the door that no man can close. Amen? And it's already paid for. Why? Jesus paid it all. It was a cost. He was abused so that the barriers might be removed.
Yes.
He was beaten so that the barriers might be removed.
Yeah.
He suffered, he bled, and he died so that you might have those strongholds and those barriers removed from your life.
Yeah.
Why are you walking in freedom now? Because God had to move some stuff. And move some people and move some situations, and now you're on your way. That those things that formerly held you back and blocked you and kept you out, God has said it's a new day. Anybody glad about that today? That now I can walk in the spirit so I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Thank God that barriers are set, but they're also moved when the Lord moves them. All I can say is this. That's one of the main reasons I've decided to follow Jesus. I used to follow some bad cats. I used to follow certain trends. And I used to follow my own mind. But after a while and by, I began to hear the voice of Jesus and say, you know what? I am going to follow him. You ever follow somebody and you weren't sure where they were going and GPS wasn't working, you just were on your own? But when you follow Jesus, he will lead you into all truth. He will lead you into all righteousness. He will lead you into joy. He will lead you into hope, because he has now opened the door and the floodgates of heaven and the rough places are smooth. Amen? Won't he do it? Kind of two things there. Knowing when to, and then knowing when to. And right now, he wants to come in. Remove that barrier today. I pray you've been helped today. Can I tell you, I've been helped? That is the word of God. It's already blessed. Come on, stand today all over this place. There's a time and a place in a season to say, no, I got to do me. I'm still holy. I still love the Lord. I'm still sanctified. But when I saw that word, I said, you go, Jesus. Did he not set them straight? And then died for him. I will not be pushed. Arm will not be twisted. I will not feel bad afterwards. I'm just going on what the Father's led me to do. Be you today. Is that a takeaway? Be your holy self. We offer Christ. My brothers, offer Christ to you. He's available today.
He will give.
brand new life.
Life abundantly. Oh,
come. Here today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the barriers have been removed, and there's nothing that should stop you from giving your heart to Jesus. He died so that we might have opportunity to have life eternal, life everlasting. I thank Him for that today. Let's bow our heads all over this place. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. If there's one today, and only you know that for sure, who has never confessed their sins and said, I am a sinner, I need to be saved. I believe that you sent your Son. I believe that He died. I believe that He rose again. The Bible says, if you believe that, confess it with your mouth, believe it in your heart, thou shalt be saved. That God save someone today in your power. Enemies tried to box them in. But God, break down the door. Break down the gate to their hearts. May they receive you today. We ask it all even now in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I pray this word has helped you today. It's helped me. Amen. Yeah, we need practical stuff. Word we can take with us. Help us along the way. Focus. Oh, you're acting different today, huh?
Yeah.
No? What's wrong with you? You always said yes.
Yeah.
Can I just be country?
Yeah.
And sometimes the kids need no.
Yeah.
How many folk had the mom and dad tell them no?
Yeah.
And didn't hurt you, did it?
No,
oh, no, you're not getting that sugar.
That's
no. But when they said yes, man, you were some happy. You were shouting there, oh, thank you, Mama. Thank you, Daddy. Our Lord knows what we need today as well. May your week be blessed. Let's continue to keep those families in prayer. Know that God is faithful and that He's able. Amen. Come on, give God the praise today.